Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James Version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I stay excited because of the study in the Bible. We have 66 books to draw from. Tonight, we will continue with the book of Proverbs. And we know that this book of wisdom is full of instruction that will not only get us through this life in a physical context, but a spiritual context that will be satisfactory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder is every 10 minutes or so, we shall have what I consider a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or even inquire if you like. Our host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you have given me and are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I assure you that I am using, and I cherish what you give me. So continue to do that, please. Now, our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, as it always will begin as, are we standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but pass from death to life. That's taken from John chapter 5, verse 24. The promise is, my brothers and sisters, everlasting life for those who believe that Jesus the Christ is the salvation of the world. Jesus again said, strive to enter into the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not find or shall not be able. That's taken from Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Jesus, the promise again, is that we must enter according to what Jesus calls the strait gate. And of course, we know that that is through Jesus Christ. others that enter in will not receive, if they do not enter in that way, will not receive the salvation that comes from him. And again, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, that which have followed me in the regeneration, the Son of Man, it shall sit on the throne of glory. Ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, joining the 12 tribes, or judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, this particular promise is taken from Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And what it's saying is those folks, we who follow Jesus, shall have merit. And, of course, the throne sitting is for the 12 apostles. And we know that that is what the rest of the context tells us. But the point is that if we follow Jesus, we will have salvation. So, again, the question for this hour is, are you standing on these promises made by Jesus Christ? Now, my precious brothers and sisters, before we get started, I want to remind you, as I always do, that listen, the Bible is written in code. And that means it's written in mysteries, in parables, secrets, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, and symbols. And the only reason that I continue to remind us and rehearse this to you is because when we read certain scripture, that it is not to be taken verbatim. It's to be taken scripturally, which meaning that we must rightfully divide the word of truth. And the only way we're going to break this code is through study and learning. And that is what we're all about, study and learning together. So here we go. Let's start study tonight. Turn with me your Bible sources to Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 25, and we're going to be reading verse 28. Now, Proverbs, because of the context of the writing, the scripture reading and the instruction many times are verbatim or the same. And so the instruction that I want you to keep in mind should control the flesh, not the flesh control the spirit. You hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? That is what should be in control of what we do in this existence, this side of eternity. And this is what Solomon had to say about it in Proverbs 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. That is critical because it's the inside that controls, not the outside. And let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, and it's going to give us an understanding of that. When God wrote in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 through 8, this is what he said about how critical that is. Listen, my brothers and sisters, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And this is the key. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. My precious brothers and sisters, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. So you can see from verse 7 that God formed man out of the dust of the earth. That was the flesh. But then he had to breathe into man the breath of life. And that's why the spirit is more significant and must control and does control the flesh. I see we've reached the first break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson. Thank you.
It's an urge. Truth be told, every champion has felt it. Every president has felt it. Every king has felt it. Every lion. The pain of potential. It's not painful to not be what I don't have the potential to be. But what is painful is to know that I have the potential to be loyal enough to die for you, but I'm not ready for it. And the Lord told me if I preach this message, I would speak directly to somebody who all your life they talked about how gifted you were and how talented you were and how much potential you had, and yet you've never been able to get it together. You got the raw skills to be great. You got the skills to be an entrepreneur. You have the skills to be a great preacher. You have the skills to be a great wife. You have the skill to be a great husband. But all of that talent put together has not gotten you there, and now you're bitter. Not because the devil has tormented you. You are bitter because your potentials have given you pain. Because you say, by now, I should be further than this. By now, I should be better than this. By now, I thought I would have my degree. By now, I thought I would be married. By now, I thought I would own my own place. And you do have the potential.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we are looking at the spirit should control the flesh and not the flesh control the spirit. And that is problematic, meaning that we are constantly in turmoil because of what this is telling us and because of how we are applying it or not applying it in our lives. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. This is the New Testament complement that's comparing and agreeing. This is Galatia being told by Paul exactly what it means to having the spirit and the flesh running amok at one another. Listen to what chapter 5, verse 16 through 25 says. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters. Paul says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. My precious brothers and sisters, very critical. Remember, it's the spirit that controls. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the thing that ye would. And that's because of the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. Before the fall, that was not true. Listen to what verse 18 says. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the workings of the flesh are manifest. Okay, this is law. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adult idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in the past, he that does these things shall not enter the kingdom of heaven or inherit the kingdom of heaven. So the point is the flesh, doing fleshly things is not going to give you what you need for salvation. But following the Spirit, these are the fruits of the Spirit. Verse 22 says, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, godliness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. My brothers and sisters, we're talking about the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, the long-suffering of God, the gentleness of God, the goodness of God, the faith of God, the meekness of God, the temperance of God. We're not talking about that of the world or that of man. The flesh is not included in this. That's why there is no law against it. And that's what Paul is telling us. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. If we walk in the Spirit, let us also, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So Paul is telling the Galatians, look, it's the Spirit that controls the flesh, or it ought to. If the flesh controls the Spirit, it's problematic. That is what is so significant. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually. That nonviolent, that the knowledge of good and evil controls the flesh, but the knowledge of everlasting life controls the Spirit. That's why God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, so they couldn't get to the knowledge of everlasting life, because they had disobeyed God. And so they were subjected to the flesh through the knowledge of good and evil. That's what I wanted to get to you through this particular lesson or instruction. Now let's return to Proverbs, and we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 26 this time, and we're going to look at verse 4 and 5. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4 and 5. And listen, my precious brothers and sisters, this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Answer not a fool according to his folly. My precious brothers and sisters, you got to be careful about being silly or being humorous, because what that does, if someone plays that game with you, you can get caught in that folly. Listen to what the instruction of Solomon gives according to chapter 26, verse 4 and 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. That's why it's very significant for you to be aware. If someone is joking around or acting irrational, you don't want to mimic them, because you will fall into the same trap that they're in or they're trying to lead you into. Now let's hear what Isaiah chapter 36 says about this. Isaiah chapter 36, it is going to emphasize this fact. We're going to look at verse 1 through 4. Listen to what Isaiah the prophet said, or God said through Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah, he said, now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah. This is an example of, if you're listening to foolishness, or you're listening to someone that is trying to trick you. Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fullness of the field. Then came forth unto him Elikam, Helkiah's son, which was over the house, and Eshiba, the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, Say ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the king, the great king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Now this is giving you misleading information. This is what Hezekiah was confronted with. This is the example that Isaiah is telling us, that we should answer not a fool according to his folly. This is what he said in verse 13 to continue the thought. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jewish language and said, hear ye the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you. He continues in verse 18, beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hands of the king of Assyria? So again, he's saying to the people, this is foolishness. Don't follow his folly, or you'll be entrapped. Verse 19, the example continues. Where are the gods of Hamath and Arab? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And haven't they been delivered to Samaria out of my hands? Who are they among all the gods of these lands that have delivered their land out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? But they held their peace because they didn't follow his folly and answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. So this is just an example to show if they would have followed him, then they would have been entrapped. And that's what I'm trying to get to you in this lesson. Now, First Timothy, chapter 2 will give us more of an understanding of this. Turn with me, comparing and agreeing. We're going to go to First Timothy, chapter 6, I should say. First Timothy, chapter 6, and listen to what Timothy said in verse 3 through 5 to begin with. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doubting about questions and strifes of words. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, envy, surmising, perverse disputing of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that the gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. That is telling us, be care of the folly of fools. It will get you into trouble. And verse 20 and 21 completes the thought. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So he's even emphasizing that there are some folks that think they are not being foolish, but are. You have to be very careful in rightfully dividing the truth and not being a part or communicating with that which is evil, because we know that Paul says evil communications corrupts. Okay, now this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. And I see we're gone past our break. Let's take the break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
My expectation is that as I walk with God and as I make decisions to follow him and I make decisions to eliminate certain things from my life that are causing me to drain energy and focus that could be applied toward my purpose, that this gap behind me will get bigger and the gap in front of me will get smaller. But guess what God does? When you take a step, when you make a move, when I step, you step. Watch this. God moves too. You're going to love this, gold digger. See, in my mind, the goal was, stay right there, that this gap goes away. Here's what God knows. If you think that you have arrived, arrogance is sure to follow. So what God is going to do, I need to do this, this is version 2.0. God is going to make sure that as you grow, when I step, you step. The gap stays. So you look back and you say, oh, look, I'm moving forward. But you look forward and it doesn't feel like you've gone anywhere. But I want to let you know, you're right where you need to be. See, you need grace for both gaps. Here it is. The same grace that created this gap between where I was and where I am is the grace I need, I step, you step, to keep moving forward. So God says to everyone who's in the middle of something right now, in the middle of change, in the middle of process, in the middle of becoming, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the fire, you step, I step. Keep stepping. Step. Stay in the middle. Step. Stay in faith, step. Stay in courage, step. Stay blessed, stay in my hand. Stay in the storm. I'm with you in the fire. God is in the middle.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, what we're going to do is complete this particular thought. I'm going to take you to 1 Timothy. I'm going to give you the point for this particular instruction. Answer not a fool according to his folly. This is why the instruction, this is what I am trying to get over with this instruction, that foolishness is what foolishness does. Use basic instructions before leaving Earth to deal with the difference. That's what Jesus did to Satan in the desert. Remember, scripture was used when Jesus was in the desert with Satan, and Satan was trying to foolishly cause him to sin against God, and Jesus used scripture to ward off the devil. And that is an example that we should employ. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources or back to Proverbs. We're going to look at Proverbs chapter 26 again, and we're going to look at verse 6 to 12. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 6 to 12. And listen, I'm going to read the text to you, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verses. A fool is what a fool does. This particular set of lessons is on foolishness. We got to be very careful about foolishness. This is what Solomon said about it. Solomon says, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage, problems. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. It's going to not equal out to anything that is going to be beneficial. Verse 8, as he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. A fool will fall flat on his face, and those who follow the foolishness will also fall into the ditch. Verse 9 says, as a thorn goeth up into the hands of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of a fool. These are all parables, or these are all instructions coming from Solomon telling us to beware of fools. Verse 10, the great God that formed all things both rewarded the fool and rewarded transgressors. And we know that the reward is ultimately damnation, but it's problems during its vexation of the spirit, and it's anxiety and stress and all those negatives. We know that if that's what we're receiving because of the instruction we're following, it must be foolishness to us. Verse 11 continues, a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. And we must realize that when folks are doubling down on stupidity, don't go with them. And we know this is prevalent in our society today. And verse 12 says, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than for him. We know that if you go down with the ship, you die. That's foolishness. Okay. Now, Psalms 14, verse 1 through 6, is going to amplify this. Listen to what King David rehearsed to Israel about this foolishness. Listen to what he did. Well, listen to what he said. This is what King David said. King David says, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does its good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there be any that did understand and seek God. They all are gone astray. They all altogether become filthy. There is none that does its good, no, not one. The way we measure it, my brothers and sisters, earlier we talked about the fruits of the Spirit or the workings of the flesh. That's how we measure if we're following foolishness. The only thing you're going to result in receiving from foolishness are the workings of the flesh. Verse 4 continues, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? Again, we are looking at the knowledge of good and evil that I mentioned to you and the knowledge of everlasting life. It's the knowledge of everlasting life that we need to apply in order for the fruits of the Spirit to generate prolifically. Other than that, the knowledge of good and evil is going to only garner the fruit, the workings of the flesh. Verse 5 continues, there were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. You have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. So David is rehearsing to Israel that you do not follow the fool. And that's the key, because foolishness only begets foolishness. Now let's look to Matthew chapter 15. We're going to go and we're going to look and see where the Bible compares and agrees and complements what we just said. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 through 5 and verse 13 and 14. This is the scenario, and it is written. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and brought Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, art thou the king of the Jews? And he answering said unto him, thou sayest it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they have witnessed against thee. But Jesus yet answered nothing. So Pilate was marveled. Now again, this is the fools telling lies about Jesus, and we can see that even Pilate knew that the Jews were telling him foolishness about Jesus Christ. And verse 13 and 14 completes the thought. And they cried out again, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, why? What hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. That's what foolishness does. Foolishness begets foolishness. And it ends up in tragedy or in condemnation. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that the foolish will be his house, will build his house on sand. And that is how your knowledge, this is how you know it is foolish. If it does not hold weight. Remember, Jesus Christ says that the wise shall build their house upon a rock, but the foolish shall build their house on sand. He said, he that has an ear, let him hear. And that's the example that I want you to take from this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me your Bible sources. We're going to look at Proverbs 26, verse 13 through 16. Proverbs 26, verse 13 through 16. And this particular instruction I want you to pay attention to, and I see we're at the next pause or break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
You're not a procrastinator. You have a habit of procrastinating. Big difference. Because if it's a habit, I can teach you to use science to break it. So let's talk a little bit about procrastination. Who in here struggles with procrastination? Yeah, and the rest of you that aren't raising your hand are just procrastinating on doing it, aren't you? I know. You see, I always thought procrastination had to do with the thing I was procrastinating around, right? Like that procrastination has something to do with work. Believe it or not, procrastination has nothing to do with your work. Procrastination is a form of stress relief. Let me explain this. So let's say that you've got some stuff going on in your life, and heck, who doesn't have stuff going on in your life? Maybe you're fighting with your significant other. Maybe mom's or dad's health is failing and it's really, really upsetting you. Maybe you've got some financial stuff. You put too much of your savings into Bitcoin and now that that's crashed, you're stressed out about it, right? And so you go into work, and when you get into work, you got stuff to do. You kind of walk in and you got this big stress ball that subconsciously is hanging over your head. And so you walk in and you sit down and you know you got 13 phone calls you need to make. And you also know that you've been chickening out, you've been making easy calls, and there's a bunch of CIOs or other people that are higher level that you haven't been calling. And so as you sit down to do it, you got the stress on your shoulders, your brain, it starts to go, wait a minute, well, you want me to make a call to somebody that I'm scared to make? Absolutely not. I'm so stressed out about, can we just watch some cat videos for a minute? And next thing you know, an hour's gone by. And then, of course, what do? You beat yourself up. So the only way that you can break this habit, and that's an important word for you to hear, you're not a procrastinator. You have a habit of procrastinating. Big difference. Because if it's a habit, I can teach you to use science to break it. You see, all habits have three parts. There's a trigger. And in the case of procrastination, the trigger is always stress. Then there's a pattern you repeat, and in the case of procrastination, it is to avoid doing something. And then there's a reward. You get a little stress release. The only way to break a habit, you guys, is not to deal with the triggers. You're never going to get rid of the stress in your life, but you can 100% change your pattern of avoiding work. So next time that you're in a situation where you feel yourself hesitate, you spent way too much time checking out the highlights from last night's scores, what you're going to do is you're going to go, oh, I must be stressed out about something. Acknowledge the stress. Then go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I want you to count to yourself because I want you to interrupt the habit that's stored here, and I want you to awaken your prefrontal cortex. Then I want you to just work, just for 5 minutes. The reason why I want you to only work for 5 minutes is because your problem isn't working. It's the habit of avoiding. I just need you to start. And here's the other cool thing. We know based on research that if we can get you to start, 80% of you are going to keep going.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let's move on to the next instruction. Turn your Bible sources again back to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13 through 16 is what we're going to be reading. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. He that is lazy is too tired to do anything. Did you hear that, my precious brothers and sisters? Solomon is telling us he that is lazy is too tired to do anything. And we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13 through 16. And this is what it says. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As the door turned upon its hinges, so doth a slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it out again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. What Solomon is doing in these verses is telling us that laziness is not next to godliness, if you will. In fact, we know that it is said in society that idle hands is the devil's workshop. So that tells us that we should be busy about doing basically God's will. Now let's look at, we're going to go to the New Testament complement. We're going to look at James. We're going to look at James and see how James tells his disciples about it. James chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. This is how James puts it. James says, for let not that man think that he hath received anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that is where laziness will get you in trouble. If you think that you are supposed to just idly sit by and do nothing, you will go into lethargy, and lethargy will eventually weaken the flesh, and you will die. Now let's look and see how Paul put it in 2 Thessalonians. Turn your Bible sources with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 10 through 15. And this is what Paul told the Thessalonians. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, for he may be made ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now, the reason this is so significant is because Paul is saying that we are supposed to let those who are idle know that they shouldn't be idle, but don't condemn them, but admonish them that they should be active, more especially active in the Word of God. Okay, so this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that faith without works is dead, is being idle. Without activity is dangerous. So we know that we must be active, not only for the healthiness of the body physically, but for the healthiness of the soul spiritually. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Back to Proverbs. We're going to look at another verse or two from Proverbs chapter 26. We're going to be looking at verse 17 through 25, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the verse to you. An unscrupulous man shall cause strife. My precious brothers and sisters, we know that ungodliness does not support virtue. Ungodliness is whatever is available to satisfy the lust of the situation. So we know that being unscrupulous, meaning a person that does not fear God, will cause calamity. In the book of Judges, several times it was said that during that time, there were no kings in the land to bring order to the people, the populace, and that there was chaos because everyone in the land did what was right in their own eyes. And that is where strife comes into play, and that is because of ungodliness. And the thing is that some may think they're godly, but they're not, because they're doing what they think is right and not what is according to Scripture, if you will. Okay, so what we want to do is see what Paul or what Solomon said about this to Israel in verse 17 through 25. This is what Paul said. Paul said, he that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. So we got to be careful about getting involved in problems of others. As a madman who casteth firebrand, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? There again is where folly comes into play. If you are going to be teasing and making fun, you got to be very careful about sarcasm. Verse 20, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. And so another thing, false witnesses causes this strife. And again, that's done by unscrupulous men and women. Verse 21 says, as coals are to the burning coal and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. So there needs to be someone that's going to agitate, and that's what the unscrupulous do. They agitate. And again, verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. They wound. Words do matter. and you hear the phrase sometimes used, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is what foolish people tell you, because words do matter. That's what bullies use, words. And then verse 23 says, burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Of course, we know that Solomon is continuing to give us instruction. I see we're at the last break of the evening. Let's take that break, then we'll continue with this instruction.
Hear this, an almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God is sitting in heaven waiting to hear from you. David says that he has his hand cupped behind his ear, listening for his children to ask him for great and mighty things that we know not. He's listening for us to pull down the strongholds of addictions that enslave our families, to pull down the strongholds of abortion and pornography, to pull down the demonic forces that are destroying the government of the United States. So what does he hear from our lips? Oh God, watch over the parakeet and water the grass. Let me tell you something. When you walk through these doors and you lift your hands to pray, I want you to remember that you're talking to Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God, the creator of heaven and earth. The blast of his nostrils can split the cedars of Lebanon. He holds the seven seas in the palms of his hand. He weighs the mountains in a scale and the hills in the balance. You can ask him for things so staggering, so big, that God slides out of his chair and sits on the edge and says to the angels, did you hear what he said? Ask him for things that are impossible, because with God nothing is impossible. Ask him to defeat the giants in your life, because our God is a giant killer. Ask him to divide the sea before you and to bury Pharaoh and watch him turn your enemies into fish food. Ask him to send fire from heaven as he did for Elijah, and he will. Ask him to walk with you in the fire of the fire furnace and be the fourth man in the fire, and he will. He said you will walk through the fire and the fire will not burn you. You will walk through the water and the water will not drown you. Ask him. He's the God who cannot fail. He's waiting to show you great and mighty things. Ask him. Pray. God in heaven wants you to have that power. You are made in the image of God. God is not a statue. He speaks. He thinks. He talks. He feels our infirmities. He answers our prayer. He's alive. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who is our banner. He's Jehovah Shalom, the God our peace. God is in heaven saying, what do you need? Do you need healing? Ask in faith, believing, and I will give it. Do you need supernatural wisdom to make a tough decision? Ask of me, and I will lead you in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Do you need peace that surpasses understanding? Ask, for nothing is impossible to those that believe. No good thing will he withhold from those that diligently seeking. Do you need the impossible? Then open your mouth. Open your mouth in faith, believing. You're not talking to the President of the United States. You're not talking to Bill Gates. Both of them together can't control their next breath. You're talking to the Creator of heaven and earth. He holds the cattle on 1,000 hills. He uses gold for asphalt on the streets of heaven. He moves mountains. He divides seas. He'll give you wells you didn't dig, vineyards you didn't plant, houses you didn't build. He will make you the head and not the tail, because nothing is impossible to you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're talking about an unscrupulous man to cause strife, and we heard how Solomon rehearsed it to Israel, and now we're going to look at our New Testament complement and see how in Titus, we're going to turn to Titus in chapter 1, 10 through 16, listen to how Titus informs those who he was talking to about this. Titus says, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of his own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and in every good work reprobate.'" My brothers and sisters, that is what an unscrupulous man, one who does not fear God, does. And now to add to that, let's go to 2 Peter and listen to how 2 Peter puts it. 2 Peter is talking about it in chapter 2, verse 17 through 22. This is what Peter said. "These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled themselves and overcome, the latter is worse to them than the beginning. For it had been better for them that they had known not the way of righteousness, than they have known it and turned from it, that holy commandment, to deliver themselves. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to the vomit again, and the sow that washeth herself wallowing in the mire." My brothers and sisters, that's what happens to an unscrupulous individual. And that is why it is so important that you fear God and you let that fear of the Lord guide you. Because remember, the Bible teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, that the fear of the Lord standeth above all things, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of his love. That is so significant. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must avoid the ungodly except for sharing with them Jesus Christ. Bad company corrupts good manners. Remember that, my brothers and sisters. The only reason you want to deal with the ungodly is to share the word of God with them. Okay, let's go to the last instruction for this evening. Turn your Bible sources back with me to Proverbs. We're going to look at chapter 26 again, verse 28, or 26 through 28. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. "An evil man shall tell on himself." Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? And that is exactly how sin is unfolded. Because the sinner will tell on himself. Did you hear what this says? "An evil man shall tell on himself." And this is what Solomon said about it to Israel in verse 26 through 28 of chapter 26. "Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be shown before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying lip, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruins." My brothers and sisters, we know that folks tell on themselves because of the evil that is within them. That is a part of being evil is to voice it, to let it be known that you are more than what you think you are. And that is how it works. And what you do in the dark will come out into the light. You might say you reap what you sow. And that is so significant, my brothers and sisters. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 8. And we're going to look at a few verses that substantiate this. In Luke chapter 8, verse 17 and 18, this is what Jesus said. And this is so significant. Jesus says, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have." That is so significant to our understanding that nothing will be hidden, and nothing is hidden from Almighty God. But in the same vein, for those who follow God, nothing will be hidden. It will become to light. You may be deceived in the initial effort, but if you focus on godliness, then you will see ungodliness. Meaning, we were talking about the gifts and fruit of God, or we were talking specifically about the fruits of the Spirit. If you focus and maintain the fruits of the Spirit, the love of God, the knowledge of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, and those other attributes of the Spirit, you will recognize the workings of the flesh, as Paul identified, lying and deceit and blasphemy and anger and those other attributes like that. And so that's key. And that's what we should be focused on. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. This particular the lesson I'm trying to get over is that evil begets evil. We should understand, my brothers and sisters, that evil begets evil. And that is the only truth for evil. Evil does not beget good. So in relying on telling the truth, it will show itself. It cannot be hid. And that is what I want you to get from this particular instruction, that an evil man shall tell on himself. And that is what the proverb is telling us. Okay, we have completed the instruction for this evening. And as always, what I'd like to conclude is that the host and I, we are so pleased that you've taken the time to tune in and take part in this lesson, and we are hoping that you have gotten something from it. And so we want to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement before we sign off tonight. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I hope you are blessed by our program. Please join us every Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.